7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. It's our first ever mini-sode. This is not going to be a full episode. Since Christmas holidays are right around the corners. Me and Todd...
And corners is okay. That's leading into the subject. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm finna hit the Lafayette. Hit the four corners. That's it.
So we are getting together. Me and Todd here. No Bill in the room this time. To talk about, in our first mini-sode, the top seven hip-hop albums of 2017. A little bit of a backstory on us, if you don't know by listening to the previous two episodes. Me and Todd are both what are called hip-hop heads. We love hip-hop. Grew up on it. Fell in love with it. It's just kind of part of our daily lives. I mean, we talked about this multiple times, Todd. Hip-hop saved our lives at some point.
Yep. And I mean, that's the thing. In the first episode, when we were talking about it, with how fucked up the world is and everything that's going on, I just thought it was really cool. Just on a random humbug, we come across each other. Nobody would ever think that we were into the same type of music, you know? And music speaks to the soul. That's the culture of the country, you know, at the end of the day. And it crosses lines. So, like, that's what brought it in. That's what brought us in to open up to talk about the video game. So it's only natural, you know, for this to kind of be something that we'd be able to drop in here. And it's just cool because we can.
Exactly. We got a format. We got a platform for it. We can just drop it out there. We can talk about our opinions. And we have very strong opinions on hip hop.
And I mean, then open it up for other opinions, hopefully. That's the thing, too. Like, it's not just about what, you know, I think, or what, you know, my boy B think. Is about, you know, let's get together on this. I can't listen to all the music every day. Maybe, you know, I could help you skip something.
Exactly.
You can help me. You know, so, yeah.
Like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's one of those things is that I like to listen to various opinions. I really do. And I do have trouble sometimes breaking out of my because I have a very specific taste for the most part, and it goes all the way back to Big Mo, City of Syrup. Like, there's something about that, like, you know, genuine, we've talked about this, genuine music.
Yeah.
Like, will always attract me. So, like, when, like, Post Malone and Future and 21 Savage and Young Thug, like, that stuff just, it doesn't resonate with me.
Lil Yachty.
Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Yachty. The beats are fire. Beats are fire.
And you gotta respect the young men. You know what I mean? I'm not finna just be the old dude in the room. Migos culture. That's a commercial album success. I mean, it's a couple of songs in there. I'd be straight lying if I said I wasn't in a certain scene and the Migos came on and I wasn't feeling them full of that Duce.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So I just can't put them on. They're not gonna be on my top seven. And no. I know that's an awkward number, but fuck it.
Seven, it's my favorite number. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's the number of creation, baby.
That's what I'm going with.
Love it. All right.
All right. So we're going to start with our top seven. We got a couple of different categories here. Like I said, it's a mini-sode, so it's not going to be a full episode. We're going to give you our list. We're going to talk about the albums as we go. Hopefully it gives you something to listen to while you do your holiday trips, because this podcast will officially drop Saturday, so it's the eve of Christmas Eve when this podcast drops. So, Todd, why don't you get us started with your number seven?
Number seven. This one is two related albums on the list when I went through it. But just to get straight to it, Wins and Losses, Meek Mill.
Meek Mill, Wins and Losses.
Yeah, I went back and forth with that one.
Yeah.
But I mean, Heavy Heart Alone kind of puts it on. I mean, it's just Meek Mill. I don't know if it's the story with him and Nicki and how he shook back after Drake killed his career. The whole, you know, he dead in the water. It's just Wins and Losses, number seven for me, man.
That is the, what is it, 1942 Flows.
1942 Flows.
Just one of the best tracks I've heard in years. Just flat out years. Heavy Heart, 1942 Flows. whatever you need. And that even has Chris Brown, and I don't mess with Chris Brown too much because of who he is, but I can't turn that track off when it comes on. I like that track quite a bit.
Yeah, and I can't, as much as I want to hate on Chris Brown for several reasons, I mean, he got an album out right now that he got a couple of songs on there. I'd be lying, I said I didn't like.
Yeah.
That dude crazy, though. That dude.
And, like, reading the police report, if you ever got to read the police report in that car, man, like, scariest thing I've ever read, according to, you know, the actual narrative of it.
What? I never read it. Like, just a quick snapshot.
A quick breakdown. Basically, he loses his cool with Rihanna, begins to punch the crap out of her while she's sitting in the passenger seat. She says, I'm going to call my assistant or call 911. One of the two. I can't remember. He begins to punch her more, tells her that she's really screwed up and that he was going to kill her, slit her throat when they get back to the room.
Wow.
The guy's
Riri.
The guy's legitimately insane.
Nah, that's fucked up, man. Either way it go, you always lose and never put your hands on a woman, man. You always losing if you put your hands on a woman.
Never regardless, put your hands you're losing, on a woman.
Regardless, you know what I'm saying?
Just absolutely.
Walk away. But anyway, man, what's your number seven?
My number seven is, well, man, okay. So I just came across this album a week ago, and that's why it's so strange for me to put this on. But I also have not stopped listening to it at least once a day for the past week, which tells me something about that album. It is Caliche, Quarter Life Crisis. This guy is, I believe, from Atlanta. He's from the Atlanta scene. He had some, you know, thing with Mountain Dew where he won a contest, from my understanding of what I was reading about him. And the music on his record, Quarter Life Crisis, is just very personal. It's very personal. It goes all the way from race relations to his relationship with his mother to the idea of dealing with his girlfriend on, you know, the precipice of having a famous career. And he's underplayed on Spotify right now. I mean, top songs, 346,000 plays. That's not a whole lot. But
I hadn't heard of him.
I want to put him out there because him and there's another guy named Pell, who for me are just like two of the youngest, most talented dudes in the game right now who got no attention whatsoever. Pell put out an album like 3 years ago. But okay. Quarter Life Crisis is just, oh, it is so good. Before you get on to your number six, Todd, I want to do a quick shout out to Loki Finrear, who you can follow on Twitter at HellTeacherLoki. He just let us know that he subscribed to us on iTunes. So that's dope. Thank you, Loki. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Much appreciated. That's a gamer.
Leave us
that name.
Leave us a review for your chance at a $35 Amazon gift card. All right, Todd, what is your number six, my friend?
Number six. Number six. Pretty girl. Excuse me. Pretty Girls Love Trap Music by 2 Chainz. I had to put that shit on there.
That was fire. Yeah. It was fire.
I almost forgot about him. I don't know what I was thinking.
I did too. Like, literally until you just said this, I completely forgot about that. But yes, that album was fantastic. Oh my God. How could I forget about that? So yeah, what about that album, bud?
I mean, I'm going to reference this a few times. You know, we talk about this all the time. I know you write, you know, I paint. And all gaming is all connected by the music. So I started thinking about albums that I actually did paintings to, or like, because it would always be like one album. You know, I have about 8 paintings right now done, and each of them had an album. Only one album that is not on my actual top seven is an album that I actually listened to complete a painting. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to mention that one later. So that one was one. It was just, I don't know, man, at 4 a.m. I was having one of them 4 a.m. nights, and it's 2 Chainz. Like, I respect 2 Chainz from, he did a song called Pimp C back. You know, that's Titty Boy. I've been knowing 2 Chainz, so I kind of just see how his career go. He's not the greatest lyrical artist, but he's like my version of like a turn up, like good album of the year for me.
Yeah, yeah. Respectable, man. Completely respectable. All right, my number six is something that had to grow on me. I didn't like it the first time I heard it at all. Really, like, we talked about it, and I was like, I don't care for it. Then slowly started listening to it more and more. Started getting into it. It is ASAP Ferg's Still Striving. I love the ASAP Mob. ASAP Rocky is probably one of my favorite artists of the last 10 years. Absolutely one of my favorite artists. But Still Striving from ASAP Ferg is just enough of those trap beats. It's just enough of that fire. And it's just enough of that weird ASAPness. Like, because they're weird. They're a weird group. They're unique. But I loved it. And that single, Plain Jane, and the remix is something that I can just put on and just like Rubber Band Man and all of that, man. Yeah. It's just such a great freaking album. And I like his flow. Like, at first, I didn't like his flow. I didn't. I'll just be real honest. But then I started to realize where it synced in with the beat, started hitting on those hi-hats, and it just perfectly worked for me. I love that album.
All right. See, now you got me again. I'm gonna have to check that one out. So we got Caliche, we got the ASAP, but you know I count on you for that. So what, my number five?
You're number five, man.
And see, I was feeling some type of way because I already put Meek on the top seven.
Yeah.
But I couldn't leave it off. So it's Rather You Than Me with Rick Ross. Santorini, Greece.
Yeah.
Apple of My Eye. Idols Become Rivals. Like a couple of years ago, he had one of my favorite little sleeper songs, Beautiful Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not like an over the top Rick Ross fan, but I had to give it to him this year. It's, you know, this year was a kind of interesting year to try to make a list.
This was,
you know, so I'll say it
turned out to be a good year, like surprisingly, because we talked early on how there wasn't much out, but it turned out to be a pretty good year.
It did, actually. After we sat down and thought about it, I was like, okay, it's been some good albums out. And there's been a lot of mixtapes you can't really consider albums. And, you know, J. Cole, if he would have came out this year, he was right at the end. But, yeah, it did turn out to a good one. What's your next one, man?
My number five is, I've talked about this album a lot this year, and it got pushed down for good reasons. It's Joey Badass, All-American Badass. That's my number five this year.
Yeah.
I love this album. The only reason it got pushed down for me is while the lyrical content, I agree with everything Joey says on this album. It is fantastic. He says the microphone's a weapon. I totally agree. He's got one where he screams, you know, F Donald Trump. I agree with, you know, completely, 100%.
You know, I already know.
It's just not a subtle album. And I love that for it not being subtle, because it is very like an angry presence on that album, and I dig it, but it's just not subtle enough. And I feel like Joey's really coming into his own a little bit. And his writing style, if it were to be a bit more subtle, a little bit more clever, I think he'd be one of the greatest MCs of, you know, the 2010 ons, you know, because he's been around since, what, 2014, 2013?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, actually, I think a little bit before that.
Yeah,
you know, originally we talked about this. Like, I had Joey up there until like the very end. So,
yeah,
I'm really fucking with it. And I mean, some of these albums correlate with the games I play.
Yeah,
because I'm like, okay, Joey Badass is on this game. You know what I'm saying? This dude is on this game, and so it crossed over into the gaming. It was just something about, okay, it was a top seven, and I was thinking to myself, I'm not putting Wu-Tang Clan, The Saga Continues on here. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know why I related the two, but I'm like, okay, if one got to go off my list just to make room for my list, it's a top seven. I'm like, if I'm not putting Wu-Tang on there, then I can't put Joey on there, because Wu-Tang is like the OGs of kind of the style. That's that East Coast style.
Yeah.
You know, Joey is the quintessential East Coast rapper, and I dig it. Like, this album is dope. He got Schoolboy Q on there. He got
a song with J. Cole
on there. The Legendary is so tight. Like, I feel, you know, I don't know. It's a mention. He just got knocked off my list, but I'm just to go along with what you saying, man.
And every time it comes on, too, when he gets to that part where he goes, "It's for my people," like, I just, that turns up. I'm riding, windows come down, and I'm just letting everything blast out, man. I'm just like, this is my track. So I had to put it on there because I did listen to it all year long. Yeah, man, I just can't help it. Joey comes on, and I just... his style, his whole flow, his whole East Coast presence, I love it. What is your number four, my friend?
I did not do this on purpose. It legitimately fell this way, so I know the universe was working with me. My number four is 444.
What?
I ain't do that. Like, I'm just looking. I'm just thinking about it, looking at it now. Like, from my notes, I was just jotted some shit down real quick. I'm like, damn, number four is 444. But, I mean, I don't even know if I got to go into a whole long explanation about that one.
It's to me, it's a classic, like, just right off. Just after like, I heard it, it was just classic.
I get how some people were disappointed. I get some people were saying it was boring. I get all of that. But just the story of OJ alone, that video for me was, you know, that was dope. That's probably my video of the year. Like, that shit funny as hell.
I agree. I love that video. And it was just one of those things. Like, that video was just so good that I ended up watching a bunch of reaction videos to it. Like, people watching the video and they're watching, like, having their reactions and stuff. And I was just, it's great. And it, oh, man.
And I mean, you know, we talked about, you know how we talk about this and how I feel about music, about art in general. The whole definition of it is to incite or create a reaction, an emotional reaction. So it's not always necessarily about it being good or bad or whatever else. It's about creating that reaction. So those reactionary videos that you saw right there, I mean, it won at that point.
It did.
You know?
Yeah, it was, and, it was, well, I know how I felt about it, like watching it and just, not just how subtle it was, but how it was a weird mix of both subtle and kind of over the top. And I could see how you could watch it both ways, but I just fell in love with that video just right from the get-go. Because, I mean, we've talked about this. I'm an animation nut. I love animation of all kinds. And the way they did that.
Cuphead.
And that throwback to just like that kind of like 30s and 40s style. And just like the highlight of like the racist culture in this country. And then going, hey, we're not that far from it. Like, it was only a few years ago. Like,
real shit.
Come on.
I mean, it's slaves in Libya in 2017.
Yeah.
Not to, you know what I'm saying? Just that's human nature is a trip, man. But yeah, 444 for me, man. What you got? What's going on for 444? I mean, number four for you.
My number four, we talked about earlier with you. Meek Mill, Wins and Losses. When I think about albums that I needed to get pumped up, just pumped up to, and just albums that kept me going in times where shit got hard. We talked about Hip Hop Saved Our Lives at some point. When I was just going to lose my mind, when I was just ready to give up on certain things, I'd turn on Meek Mill, Wins and Losses, opener track. I'm good. I'm solid. I'm straight. And it was just Meek Mill doing that. And it was just that, oh, that is just a fire track. That whole album's fire. But I listen to that album so much.
You know, that shit still be tripping me out, man. That's just, that's so cool.
I love it.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
I love it, dude. Meek Mill is so good. And just like anybody who can come back from Nicki, who just like, in my opinion, just like not screwed her career. She made her career, obviously. But she used to be one of the most fire female rappers. I mean, when she was on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy with Kanye, that monster track, and just like the first time I heard her, because that was, what, 2010, and it just blew my mind to hear this female rapper just go with such aggression, and then she turns around and just, she does pop now, and I get you want to make money. I can't knock that, but at the same time, you had a talent, and you had a great talent, and you've kind of turned your back to that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the music industry is a amazing kind of fucked up industry a lot of times, too. You know how people got deals and things happening. You got to cross over, and it's pressure. And I mean, I think she fell into the Little Kim trap. It's hard on a female rapper.
It is.
You know what I mean? Unless you catch a young MA vibe, because, you know, you got to respect her. She spit, and she's not shackled in by, you know, having to be like a sexual object.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's true. Yeah,
like a lot of black women, unfortunately, kind of fall into that a lot of times. You know, not to get too political, but just in media. I was looking at my homeboy posted today. My boy Lito posted that. Some real stuff. He was just showing stats, just the public perception sometimes and feeding into it. You know what I'm saying? But it's just profitable. What I like about her is her getting online and paying people tuition and shit. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. That is really cool. Like, she does have a big heart. Like, she definitely has a big heart.
Now, it was really, it wasn't Nicki that killed, that almost destroyed Meek's career. Let's keep in mind. Like, I hate to give him hit the credit, but you got to give it where it's due. It was Drake who almost killed that man's career, like, straight up.
That's true, too. That's true, too. Absolutely. I will say this, for female rappers this year, there have been a couple good albums. They didn't make my list, but it was Also Runs for me, or mentions I'll get to. Princess Nokia and Rhapsody, both very good. Very good. Princess Nokia was fire for sure. Just didn't quite make it. What's your number three, Todd?
Number three, Boomerverse with Big Boy.
That's so good. So good. That's on my honorable mentions this year. I love that album.
For me personally, like just like I said, just some I know I went back to what I was listening to this year. I thought about it and automatically that was one of the top three albums I listened to.
Yeah.
Not saying it's necessarily the best album. You really could put Joey there, you could put Wu-Tang, you could switch it out. But for me, Kill Jill and that video.
Yeah.
The visuals.
The visual was amazing.
Just, you know, the Outkast era, just me longing for Andre 3000 and Big Boy for one more album.
Yeah, I want one. They said that it's never going to happen. I'm really sad about that. Stank on you. All of it. Southern Player. All of it. So good.
Man, ATL is probably one of my favorite, like, album covers. One of my favorite albums for sure.
Yeah, because it had that comic book style to it. And they were so just dope. They were so different for their time, too. And what makes me sad is my wife's 18-year-old cousin will come over sometimes. And, you know, I like to game in my room and I play music. And one time she came in here to watch me play a video game and I had ATLians going. And just she looked at me and she's like, who's this? I was like, oh, God. I just. So I put on, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. She's like, oh, I know this song from the radio. I
was like, okay.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's straight. I don't know, my people, me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Mm-hmm. You can still put that on. I'm like, yeah, people gonna know that around my way. But what's the deal for you, man? What you got for number three?
My number three is a bit different for this year. Tyler the Creator, Flower Boy. This album, to me, it is exactly where Tyler has been building towards. And it became a much more personal experience. Like, you can tell he put a lot of heart and soul into this album about what he wanted to talk about. And it became less about him making jokes and being funny, because that's what Tyler's usually known for, and being more real and honest about who he was. And I felt that. I felt that. Like, I put that on and I could feel it. And, like, there's the rumors that circulate about whether or not he may be gay. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because the album, the production of it, the lyrical content, the beats, everything about it was just fantastic to me. Like, it was just so good. I bought it on vinyl. And yeah. I don't buy a whole lot on vinyl, but I bought that on vinyl when I got the opportunity to. And I've listened to it 3 or 4 more times since, and it holds up. It's everything from that album, start to finish, is still great.
And see, like, I need to listen to it. I still haven't listened to it. You know, you try to get me on it. I know it's a good album, especially if you're going to buy it on vinyl. I just haven't given it the chance yet. You know, I think I've listened to a couple of Tyler Creator songs in the very beginning. But normally, like, I remember him from being, like, on, like, Cartoon Network or Comedy Central on a couple of shows and stuff like that. Like, I need to get down and listen to what he actually talking about, because I know he got some bars.
He does. You know what I'm saying? He does. Yeah, but he's just, he's like, I'll totally go with you on this, Todd, too, because I agree with you. Like, the stuff before this, I've listened to it all.
Okay.
But I haven't liked it as much. Like, even to the point of not liking it at all.
There's, I got you.
And this is the first one that I've listened to that I've gone, yes, okay, I get it. This is why. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What
you
know,
I listened to you, man. You put me on Juicy J. I was sleeping on the Juicy J album.
Ooh, that's on my honorables. I love Juicy J. All right, what's your number two?
Forever is a Mighty Long Time. Big Crit.
Let's talk about this together. That's
I'm
my
still
number.
In the South. I'm
that's my number two. That's my number
that's
two.
That's your number two.
That's my number two.
Yeah, we could go. Yeah.
We're still gonna go see him in April, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you know, I don't go to many concerts. The last one I went to was like a club concert with my homeboy DJ Fat.
Yeah.
To go see Jeezy, which was just a grand time. But yeah, I mean, Forever is a Mighty Long Time. That's a classic one to me.
That's me too. That is.
Yeah.
I've listened to that. You turned me on to that too.
Man. First time I heard Price of Fame, I was like, oof. I think that was the first song I heard. And then just, that's one of those albums you can let run. Like, yeah. 444, I let run. All these albums you can let run, but, like, seriously, Forever is a Mighty Long Time. That one's crossing borders. Crit, I don't know if he was just motivated. He on another level right now. So, yeah, that's my number two. If really it would have been number one,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, talk about Forever Mighty Long Time. It's like, so it's my first time really messing with Crit at all. You turn me on to it. I get this text message. I'm driving one day. It's my day off, and you're like, just go listen to Big Crit. Forever is a Mighty Long Time. I turn it on. It is that Subinstein, right? And I'm sitting there driving to my vape shop, and all of a sudden, you know, I feel it, and I'm just like, I'm back in Beaumont, you know, I'm listening to, you know, UGK or Outkast, and I'm feeling it, like, I am feeling that music, and just everything about it just feels old school. And then sure enough, a couple tracks later, who shows up? Bun B. It's credited as UGK, and I'm in heaven, because UGK is, we've talked about this before, I mean, UGK is my favorite group of all time. Like, of all
easily.
Time. Easy.
R.I.P. Chad Butler. And I think that's where we connected. Because, you know, you being from Beaumont, South Texas, me being from Lafayette, Louisiana, South Louisiana, that's going to be a connection automatic. You already mentioned, like, Big Mo.
Big Mo.
Bar Baby. You know what I'm saying? Just Slim Thugs. Bar Baby. SUC, the whole nine, the UGK. Baby. You know, 8-Baller and JG, motherfucking. You know, all of them. So, Forever is a Mighty Long Time. That's like the continuation of a legacy right there. And he's linked up with Bun B. So it's only natural. Like, he produced Bun B's album. So it's an organic transformation. Like, the boy is growing. I seen something on Mount Olympus when Kendrick came for everybody.
Yep.
You know, and this album just, I can put that album on whenever. All else fails.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I got a feeling I know that our number one is going to be the same as well. Am I correct?
It's got to be, man. Let's just get Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar. Damn. Kendrick Lamar, damn. The only other album this year I bought on vinyl. Only other album I bought on vinyl this year. And I've listened to that album every day since I first heard it. At least a track.
Got to give him his respect. You got to give him his respect. To original point, the culture. And speaking and moving forward, and how he carries it, message and everything. Like, I don't have to, it might not be like, I probably listen to, I'm gonna go talk about it again. I probably listen to like Kevin Gates' album, mixtape, No Love, just more maybe. I don't know, you know, but as far as commercial success, just great album. And I can, another one I can just put on and I'm still picking up stuff. Yep. And you put me on something the other day. What was you told me how like you can actually play it in reverse and it tells the story back? I didn't even know that.
It tells the flip side of that story. Like, if you play those tracks in reverse, it tells the flip side of that story, because that's the artistry behind Kendrick. Like, Kendrick is on another level, and I know people sing his praises, and I know it gets old, and I get that, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the man is a genius, a literal genius. Like, he's gonna go down with Reggie, Pac, Biggie, Jay-Z, Dre. Like, he will go down.
Big L, you know.
Absolutely. He will go down in history as one of the greatest of all times for a reason. Like, To Pimp a Butterfly, for Damn, like, all of those. Like,
history. I still like it. The first song I heard for him, Rigor Mortis, I was like, this boy is special.
Yep. But
especially with everything that's going on in the world. The man went to go visit Barack Obama in the White House before Barack left. So before he came out with this album, Brian was listening to his shit before the shit came out. Like, DNA, Humble, these, like, 2K Live, we talk about it all the time. Both of the fucking video games have Kendrick on them. I ain't never seen that before.
Kendrick, just everything. Everything about Kendrick. So, Todd, real quick, since we're finishing up here, I just wanted to say, do you have a freshman of the year? Because I do.
No, I don't have a freshman of the year. Not off the top of the dome.
For me, it's Aminé. That album, Yellow. Really, really dug that. What's some of your honorable mentions while we finish up?
Oh, yeah. You know what, though, man? Hold on, wait. Not necessarily a freshman, but I did give Jaden Smith's album a listen. I'm going to have to go back and try to give that shit a listen, man. I'm still on the fence about that. Real quick to go through it. I mean, I already talked about Migos. I'll say Culture, just to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Bupac, I just got to say Bupac.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's not like, that's not even an honorable mention necessarily for my favorite albums by far. It's just, I got to say Bupac. I feel some type of way.
Absolutely.
I already told you. Yeah. Kevin Gates, No Love. That's just my shit.
Get Out, Funerals, and Court Dates by Star Leto.
That was so good. You turned me on to that. That was so good.
Yeah. We already talked about Wu-Tang, The Saga Continued. I know you're going to feel me on this one. Pee-wee the Long Way.
Pee-wee Long Way. He's on my honorable.
I want to rock right now.
I want to rock. That's so good. Pee-wee's on there. You talk about Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang's on mine. Big Boy's on mine.
Okay, okay. Shine by Wale. I really don't fuck with Wale like that. It's been a minute. Like, yeah. I like his earlier albums, but this one did it. That was a nice. It had a Columbia Heights. Like, yes. Check that song. That's a good one.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty much my honorable mentions. Of course, you know, Drake came out this year. Usually, yeah. Hendrix, I ain't fuck with it. Gold Link had a song out.
Gold Link.
One more. I just gotta do this one last one.
Yeah.
Because in case I don't drop top WAP.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
All right.
Some of my honorables: Juicy J, Nerd, G Easy, Brockhampton, Slim Thug. I've been listening to that a lot lately. He got a new album out this year. Talib Kweli, Sci-Hi the Prince, Smino, NF, Jay-Z, Lecrae, Action Bronson, Kodak, Vince Staples, Big Boy David Banner. And then last but not least, worst album of the year for me was Eminem, Revival. Worst album.
Still ain't heard it.
So
still
bad.
Ain't heard it.
So bad.
I don't think I could do it to myself.
It's hard.
Oh yeah, hold on, wait, one more. Cause I know you're talking about worst album of the year. I gotta talk about one more thing.
Yeah.
But I cannot leave my boy Codeine Zero out.
Okay.
Codeine. I knew you would fill in the blanks with Thugger. I ain't listening to Thugger, but Codeine Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's just, he always on the list when he drop an album.
Absolutely.
But not to get too far into it though, man. But I do have to give a special shout out to Joyner Lucas.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's been like a divisive issue for some people, especially like a lot of black people feel like a certain type of way, and I get it, but it goes back to my original point, man. Art is art, and it sparked something I believe is a really positive conversation. So whatever side of the fence you fall on it, whether you feel like it was a detriment and the worst thing that ever happened to black people, or you feel like it was something that could bring people together and you thought it was great, whatever else, it sparked a great conversation. And besides that, like, his other music, boy, the boy is spitting. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
Like, that dude got a Gucci Gang remix. If you ain't heard it, like, you, I don't know where you at. Or bank account. You know what I mean? But I just know when it first came out, it was a lot of people that I know are intelligent and I respect. And some of them didn't even know he was black, and they was coming at him at a certain angle.
Yeah, and I saw that. I saw some of that response.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then it was just one of those things. I was like, it's just a dangerous position. Watch who you put on the cross, because you could end up on there one day. And just respect the art.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But that's you know, Joyner Lucas, man. You know, respect to the young man. I hope good things for him. I see what even kind of sparked.
I dug the idea behind it, and I understood both arguments for and against, and I felt like it did its job by sparking that, like we talked about, it sparked that conversation. I thought
now,
it
don't
was...
get me wrong. Just to clarify my stance on it, as much as I dug the song, I do think it was weak on the side of when he came back. I do think it was weak.
I agree.
Period. But my sign took care of that, and that's what's cool. It's no need to bury it. You know, I just also feel like it's no need to bury him. That's counterproductive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. It's always a pleasure, man.
Always. That's been our mini-sode. Anyway, we're gonna end it like we always do. Stay humble.
Stay humble, brothers and sisters.
Spread the love. And also visit us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. Follow us on Twitter at @stt_pod. You can email us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at skipthetutorial.podbean.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Every month we give away $35 Amazon gift cards. Leave us a review for your chance to enter into that. Have a good night. Stay humble. Spread the love.